We are back talking about cervical cancer. Doctor, one of the things we were saying is that for some women who are diagnosed with cervical cancer, it's almost like family members or people, there's a stigma attached to it because you're kind of labeled a promiscuous woman, or it's your fault, or you had too many partners. Can you talk to that? You have a program called Love We Learn.
Absolutely. It's been a quite a bit of a problem, the stigma, because then what happens is if women don't talk to their families, they delay their care and they don't get the support they need when they get diagnosed with cancer or abnormal cells. With Love We Learn, I created it because having that conversation with the woman and her partner, whether it was a husband or a longstanding partner, was challenging. Each person wanted to blame the other. They didn't understand that it takes years after HPV infection to really develop these changes. And, you know, sometimes the women said, well, you were my only partner. But they don't realize that the man may have had a contact with the virus years before and transmitted it to his wife. So these kind of conversations became very complicated to do in the clinic setting at the hospitals that I work with. So what I did was I brought this idea of the program with Love We Learn. It first started out for the Spanish population, Con Amor Aprendemos. And I took the idea and went to the American Cancer Society. At that time, it was the South Atlantic Division. And I brought it to a good friend of mine, Olga Jimenez, and she thought the idea was great. And so we went into actually the Catholic Church of all churches, Christ the King, on Peachtree. And they were willing for us to work with Hispanic couples and develop the program. And from there, it just took off. We created a manual. We actually got a grant from Prevent Cancer, and we actually implemented the program in Georgia and South Carolina. Then we took it and adapted it and took it to El Salvador. Oh, wow. In Latin America, and we have over 220 health trainers in El Salvador actually doing the program there. And then we decided, well, this is going to be great for the African-American community. Let's adapt it. And we got a grant from Morehouse School of Medicine from the research prevention program, and we adapted it for the African-American community and was able to do it with Green Forest Baptist Church on Rainbow Drive and show that this program can work in the African-American community. So that's our next goal, is to really work with couples in the African-American communities and families to make sure that people learn about HPV infection with love, that it's with love we learn. There's no blaming game. There's no pointing fingers. This is a infection that it really starts years before, and now we're seeing the consequences of it as we progress. So by educating the population about this infection and keeping everybody in harmony to let them know that, hey, it's common, hey, no one should be blamed for it, anyone that you have a sexual relationship with, you have a chance of getting it, don't blame, just prevent. Just get your pap smears. Be aware of the changes so that you and your family can be protected.
Let's talk to you, Jennifer, because one of the things I want to make mention, since you are our cervical cancer survivor, what were some of the things that was most important that you needed when you were going through your treatment? So if a woman is listening to this, and let's just say she is diagnosed, what was the one, two, three things that you needed in order to be able to work through this thing and come out a survivor?
Absolutely. The number one thing is just to listen. I had a number of friends, you know, everybody approaches you and they don't know quite what to say or what can I do for you. Can I bring you a casserole?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I'm very grateful for.
Right, right.
But at the time, you're frightened. You're scared. You know, I just needed someone to listen and someone to be there. This is my angel over here right now. Let me tell you, the caregivers. Mm-hmm. The caregivers are the ones that are so important to us. And I, you know, I'm just sitting next to an angel. And I know her mother's with all of us right now. But, you know, having an extra pair of eyes and ears, too, when you go to the doctor, when you're so frightened and you're so ill and the doctor's talking to you, as we're listening right now, everyone out there is calm. You're probably in your car. You're maybe at home having a drink.
Right.
But when you're there as a patient, you are frightened. And so having someone there, just be there and listen for you and repeat what the doctor says, because sometimes I came
take
out.
Notes.
And take notes. Mm-hmm. And do that. And make sure that you're taking your medication. Make sure that you're there, you know, to your appointments on time. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the most important thing. We cannot survive without
the caregivers.
So.
And since we are talking about our caregiving, we have a wonderful one in here, Sand. Let's talk about, for you, as the caregiver, what did you need? Because you had to do so much.
I had support from my extended family also. And like you said, just I needed to just have them days where I could get away because it was overwhelming at times.
I'm sure.
Because, you know, even though my mother had the cancer, she had it physically. But with the family living in the home with her, it was a whole lot of emotional and, you know, just ups and down with her. And then just having to see her go through what she went through. Mm-hmm. So it was times that my family that, you know, would sometimes say, let me come babysit for you. You know, they would let me go out with, you know, my girls. But for the most part, it was almost like she was my baby, you know, mm-hmm. one of my children. And I was just, every time I'm gone, I was just so afraid to be, you know, just not be there. Mm-hmm. But just with anybody that's a patient caregiver, just, you know, what you really need to know and learn is patience, because mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, when a person is going through what they're going through, it can be overwhelming for them, and sometimes it can be overwhelming for yourself.
I remember you saying sometimes you would have conversations with your mother, and like the next couple of minutes, she wouldn't remember what you just discussed.
Right. Going to the doctor, like you said, I would take notes, and I would have to set the appointments, and even with my work schedule, you know, I missed a lot of work. You know, because I just felt like I needed to be there, because, you know, she would go and they can ask her, you know, a birthday sometime, and it was kind of hard for her to mm-hmm. remember it, you know. But then sometimes she can remember just, you know, everything. But then even that she went through all of her chemo and her radiation and things kind of subsided, she doesn't remember a whole lot of the experiences she went through.
So let me ask this for you. And don't forget, we still have time to take your questions if you have one. 404-880-9255. What was it like for you to decompress from all of it once your mom succumbed to the disease and had a home going?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, she, you know, close to time, once they told us that, you know, there was nothing else they can do for her besides keep her comfortable, you know, it was things she wanted to do. So we got a lot of stuff done. But, you know, as time drew close, she knew, but me as a caregiver, I was in denial. I'm assuming, you know, well, you know, don't be so negative. You know, we got time. But, you know, when it did happen, I was in shock. I mean, mm-hmm. I knew it was coming. But, I mean, at the time when it did come, I didn't expect it.
Right.
You know, but once it happened, I cried a lot. But I got that big release out. And then I just knew, you know, like, well, she's okay now. Because, you know, with her suffering, she was ready. So
any kind of advice you would give for other caregivers who are caring for their loved ones right now who may be the ideal patient, and then there are some who can be kind of challenging patients to care for, because right. sometimes patients can make it hard for you to want to care for them if they're
right.
Well, not so nice.
Again, I would say be patient with them, because okay. understand they are going through a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, me just sitting there watching her and her suffering, it was some days that I wanted to cry for and with her, but, you know, just trying to be strong, I didn't. But just sometimes take that away time. Just reach out to someone, even if it's just a friend. Just get you some away time sometime, because sometimes you do need that.
Okay. Because I always often wonder, too, for the doctor and for our cancer survivor, for me as being a breast cancer survivor, after it was all over, I think I went through a bit of depression afterward. You would think I wouldn't, but I did, because I'd been through so much and had to be strong, and then it was challenging. Is that possible for the caregiver, too, to go through any kind of depression, or is it?
No, absolutely, because there's so much responsibility and taking the patient to the hospital, bringing it back, the patient suffering from the types of treatment, and naturally knowing that depending how the patient is responding health-wise to mm-hmm. the treatment, whether the patient is going to be able to survive it or will she succumb to it. So these are like pressures that are on the caregiver that you can see it wear on them when they come into the hospital. And I many times have to ask, are you getting sleep? Are you resting? Mm-hmm. You know, because they also need the rest and need someone to care for them as well.
Two quick questions before we go. Let's talk about, I asked you about condoms, whether or not that would be a preventative measure. And then we want to go over the symptoms one last time for possible cervical cancer.
Absolutely. So condoms do help prevent HPV being transmitted from one partner to the other, but they're not 100% because the condom doesn't protect all the skin areas that can be in contact. And for the symptoms, again, the majority of times there aren't any symptoms, and that's why the Pap test is so important. But when there are symptoms, it's bleeding after sex or abnormal vaginal bleeding, a foul vaginal discharge, and those are probably the main ones that would present pain and other issues are not common. And when they happen, it's at the late stages.
Let me ask one other question, too. You see those commercials when you can use something called Refresh or different little suppositories that you can use after you've had intercourse to balance your vagina out again. Is that preventative for cervical cancer, or is that?
That's an excellent question. We actually do not recommend women inserting any kind of Replens is fine, or like some of the vaginal lubricants are okay to use, such as Astroglide.
Okay.
But we do not recommend douching. We do not recommend fragrant types of suppositories to refresh in the vagina. The vagina actually has its way of keeping, it's like an ecosystem, mm-hmm. you know, like a jungle, but a nice jungle. So they're all living together very happily. They don't need anybody to clean them out.
Okay.
The vagina knows how to keep itself balanced.
But is that something that could possibly help?
No, not really.
Not really. That's just a...
We just use lubricants like Astroglide or some Replens just to keep the vagina moist for sexual intercourse. Outside of that, there's no need.
Dr. Flowers, we appreciate you for being here. Jennifer Culbertson, did I say your last
name?
Okay, very good. Our cervical cancer survivor, and of course to you, San Davis, our caregiver. We thank you so much for being a part of this show. And don't forget, if you want to be a part of the 5K or the walk, go to spiritfoundationinc.org. And all of the information that you need to know is there, okay? I am Jaquetta Williams. Thank you so much for being a part of our conversation, and I'll see you next time. Happy Wednesday.